Hi, you're listening to Go See a Show, New York City's independent theater podcast. In the Fringe, it helps to have a catchy title. For example, something like The Curse of the Baby Woman serves brilliantly if you're looking for some absurdist fun wrapped around social allegory. Here's the Fringe NYC 2016 pick for you. I spoke with playwright Michael Paul Wersch, director Olivia Hartle, and actor Sarah Misch after a recent performance. Take a listen.
I like to start with everyone's name on the mic. We'll start with the playwright.
Mike Wersch.
And you wrote what?
The Curse of the Baby Woman.
And we also have the director.
Olivia Hartle.
And one of the actors.
Sarah Misch.
Okay, so in case you missed it, The Curse of the Baby Woman is a heck of a title. I love it. It's really grabbing because the first question is, what the hell is The Curse of the Baby Woman? So, I mean, tell us, Mike, what is the play and what is this about?
It's tough to summarize in a sentence, but
that's why I asked the playwright to do it.
Yeah, it's basically about an outsider who goes to the town of Shrubtown, where he meets the inhabitants, and he learns that there is a person who turns into a giant baby at night, every night. So that's the curse. And then as it goes on, you learn that everyone fears this baby woman. They despise her. It's basically a mashup of Frankenstein and the werewolf mythos kind of crammed together, but the monster is a much more innocuous beast.
Yes, it will. You do not want to be gummed by the baby woman, as
not
they say
at
throughout
all.
The show. And it feels like there's almost like layers of allegory here, but there's also just a ton of ridiculousness as well. Olivia, do you want to talk to that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I loved about it when Mike brought it to our company as something to potentially produce was that it was so relevant and has like a very, sort of hidden or maybe not so hidden politic to it relative to, as Mike said in interviews before, denial in the face of evidence and fear and mob mentality and what happens when people don't understand something and, there's this villain in it whose name is Nimrod Rodham Rodman, and part of what he does is he gets the town all riled up in support of trying to kill this giant baby, which, as Mike says, is an innocuous bad thing. So, yeah, so I think it's really relevant, especially in this election year, frankly.
Yeah, it's I pulled from my own life. That sounds weird, having just seen the show. But there's I know people who do deny things that are just, true, like climate change, or I mean, maybe climate change isn't true, but 97% of scientists say it is, and they choose to believe the 3% that Lucianne.com or Fox News or whatever hawks. So it's that same sort of idea. But if you're going to convince people to change their minds and their hearts, you have to do it subversively. And that's ultimately what I hope this does. And if not, it's a good time. So that's important too.
It is a good time. We have actors that are clearly having a blast on stage. Sarah, talk to us a little bit about the process, like putting this together. It's so, again, like I said, there's so many layers of ridiculousness. So how did you come up with some of the gags, some of the ideas in the piece that you as actors are working with?
So a lot of them were written in. Like, Mike's a really funny dude, and a lot of the jokes were written in, but certain things just came out of sort of playing or messing up and sort of being like, that was hilarious, let's lean into that and keep it. And I think a lot of it, because the tone of the show is so crazy, I think that a lot of our job was to just take it very, very seriously and to really like live it and be 100% truthful in these extremely ridiculous circumstances. Because the world of the play is so crazy that like in order for the audience to believe it, we have to fully buy in too.
And there's also some brilliant puppet work going on by Mr. Wersch. Well, is that scripted or was that an idea to, because I didn't say this is part of the Fringe. And one of those things about the Fringe, as I've talked about before on the podcast, is that you kind of, going minimal is a really great idea because you don't have the space or the time for an insane theatrical setups, so lean into the other side of theatricality, is simplicity.
Yeah.
So is that something part of the script, or was that something you guys went with because it's the Fringe?
That was Liv's idea, because there are elements that are written in. The load-in time for Fringe is 15 minutes in, 15 minutes out, so if you have a gigantic set, you can't, or props, or whatever, you do want to keep it minimalistic. What's more minimalistic than a shadow, you know? It's just the absence of light, so.
Yeah.
Where'd that come from for you, Olivia?
Well, it was, you know, it started with, like, how do we do the baby woman? Like, that's, like, the question is, like, you know, spoiler alert, you see the baby woman, but, like, how do we want to see it? And so one of the things that we decided was, and there's actually a few things like that in the script that Mike has written that are just so strange. Like, there's baby horses and a noise cancellation machine that's like Victorian era. So like these things that were just kind of strange and bizarre. And, you know, we said like, well, what if we integrate puppetry into it? And what if we have shadow puppets? And then Mike actually designed all the puppets. I like put it on him. I was like, so can you design these things? And he's a brilliant artist too. So he was like, okay. And then like they ended up actually being like really beautiful and magnificent. And because it's Fringe, we have to take them to and fro every rehearsal. So we're also carrying these giant shadow puppets on and off the subway, which is very New York City of us.
The better thing about shadow puppets is that I saw the bag earlier. It's just a bunch of sticks sticking out, which is nice. Talk to me a little bit more about the fact that this is Fringe. Like, Go See a Show is, of course, for the independent theater scene. Fringe is, of course, a big part of the independent theater scene. What's it like? Is this your first Fringe, anyone? Like, is this kind of a, everyone's like, no, we are all battle-tested.
Yeah. This isn't even our first one, the three of us together.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's big.
Yeah.
This is the second
show.
Our
third, actually.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
And you were in all of them?
Just the second one.
Okay.
And the third one.
So what have you learned? If you were to give someone some advice as to their first Fringe, what have you learned over three?
Well, you said it really well. The simplicity is key. Our first show we did was like really complex and a ton of moving parts. And we had to schlep stuff to and fro every time, like a ton of stuff on the train every single show. So the second time we did it, we went like completely minimal and literally had like four benches. And that was the entire set. And so this time, I feel like the third time is like when you kind of start to hit your groove. And there's Fringe has a ton of like there's a lot of rules and a lot of regulations, and it really takes three times before you're kind of like, okay, we got the hang of this now. Like, what needs fireproofed? When can people buy tickets? How does this work? So I think for my advice would be, I'm sure Mike and Sarah have some too, is just to go in with you know, keeping it simple and being really like open and receptive, you know, utilizing your improv yes and muscles of being like, okay, so this is the situation, what can I do with it?
You kind of mentioned that, Sarah, about finding the gags and stuff in rehearsal. It did the effect that this was a Fringe show affect how you prepare?
Yes and no. I think that it affected less how I prepared and more how sort of tech week unfolded and opening unfolded. You kind of just have to be willing to not be too precious about anything. Things, in both shows, like, things come and go. I think in the last show we did together, I had three big monologues, I had five big monologues, and I ended up with three at the end because they're really strict about time limit, and we've had to be flexible about where we move things and, like, where and like what our costumes are and all sorts of, you just have to be willing to be like, all right, this is what it is, we're doing it, it's fine. Everybody just relax. You can't be a diva for Fringe, it's not happening.
Yeah, go for the shared set pieces. It's like fireproofing is a pain, so just like, you know, keep that in mind. There was something else. Oh yeah, I guess like have a good grasp of your show prior to being in the space, because you get one tech and then you're up, you know? So the technical elements, if you keep those simple and you've got a solid show outside of the technical elements, it's gonna be solid in this space.
Yeah,
when you do
one thing we invested in this year, we put a lot of our budget money toward, was like real rehearsal space. Like in the past, like last show, we literally would rehearse in like my apartment. Just because it's so expensive. But this time around, we invested a lot in having like actual renting studio space to rehearse in. Because like as Mike's saying, especially our show, is there's a lot of moving parts to it. So us being in a space where we could actually be moving around was really key.
So before we close out, tell me more about Big. Productions.
Yeah.
What is the idea of the company, and what can see anything next from y'all? What is it?
Yeah. So we started Big Theater Company in 2012, actually, when we were applying for our first Fringe show, and we got in, and they asked us what your company name was, and we were like, oh, we should start a theater company. So it was literally like a group of us who went to college together. We went to St. John's University in Queens, and the theater we performed in college was called the Little Theater. So we were like, oh, let's call it the Big Theater Company. So that's where it came from. I mean, our track record has been every 2 years we do a Fringe show. So we did one in 2012, 2014, 2016. So hopefully we'll do one in 2018. That'll hopefully be our next one, if not sooner. And we do small workshops and readings throughout the year. And if people want to know more about what we do, find us on Facebook, Big Theater, or bigtheater.org. And it's theater with an RE, the pretentious way, bigtheatre.org.
I was about to ask.
So. Yeah, it's a backronym as well. It stands for Believe in Great Theater, but that was after it had already been named. So it's a backronym.
I love coining the terms. That's wonderful. We are at the Teatro Seya, right?
Yes.
At Clemente Soto Velez. And we're coming to you live from the Fringe, is this the Fringe Lounge?
The Fringe Lounge.
One of
yeah.
two Fringe Lounges.
Yeah, brilliant.
The one without booze.
The other one has beer?
Yeah.
The other one has beer.
Sorry.
They got a six-point.
We made mistakes, guys.
Yeah.
I know.
Mistakes were made.
Actually, that's what you should do. If you apply for Fringe, make sure you end up closer to that lounge with the brews.
But you don't get to pick it, so.
Yeah,
just...
That's true.
You could pay. Everyone has a price. That's my suggestion.
Thanks for a fun
Dirty
show,
politics.
Guys.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Take
likes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike, Olivia, and Sarah, for hanging out after the show to chat. You can catch The Curse of the Baby Woman at Teatro Seya at Clemente Soto Velez, 107 Suffolk Street in Manhattan, as part of Fringe NYC 2016. Remaining performances are Saturday, August 20th at 2:45 p.m., Tuesday, August 23rd at 9:45 p.m., and Friday, August 26th at 9:45 p.m. Remember, it's the Fringe, so the times are a little weird, and you gotta get there before the start of the show, or they won't let you in. Head to bigtheater.com, and that's theater with an R-E, for a link to tickets and more information. Thanks to you for listening into the podcast. If you dig it, please give it a like on Facebook, facebook.com/GoSeeAShow. Follow @GoSeeAShow on Twitter, and rate or comment on the show's iTunes page. Until next time, go see a show.
I love it. Well done.
Yeah, thanks.